Praise God. Last week we talked about five things I wrote on the board. Number one, spiritual growth. Right on. Anybody been growing this week? Taller in the Lord. You say, what? Yeah, taller in the Lord. What's number two? Unity of faith. Mary Ann's on it. Unity of the faith. What's that mean?
Oneness.
One word, one spirit, man. That's the unity of the faith. Number three. Fellowship of the Word. Fellowship of the Word. Now, have we done that? Well, I'm going to get back to that. I'm going to put you on the spot. Number four. Be a receiver, a giver, and a receiver, right? That's awesome. Number five, do some works. And why do we need works? Faith without works is dead. Isn't that right, Dave? Faith without works is dead. How many of you believe God has talked to you in your lifetime? Is that your faith? How many of us have acted on it? Oh, let's go. Let's go. Let's act on it. Now, I want to continue right from there. Really, I'm going to go in between a lot of these things. How many of you remember the covenants that you made with me? Now, let's put you on the spot. More than just a week ago. Now, number one, what was it? Well, that was number two, Ernie. Thank you. Seek the Lord was number two. Praise God. I'll take it. Oh, that was the last one. Drawing a line in the sand and saying, I will not walk with the devil. That's good. I appreciate that. Have you been doing that, Megan? Come on, Megan.
Yes.
Ernie, you've been seeking the Lord? Right on. What? Give me another one. I won't put it in order. That was in the same thought right there, Megan just said, to mark certain thoughts. Yes. To mark them which cause division among you. Among you, in your thoughts. Are there thoughts in you that cause division? Did you mark them? A little reminder. If you don't know how to mark those that cause division in you, what will they do? Yeah, they'll cause division. Inward, outward. Is that not what we talked about last week as well? There's an inward and an outward. Trust me, there is all those that want to work division in me, but then there's those that want to work division outside of me. There's those that want to work division against the Lord. Can't let that happen. How do you not let that happen? You rise up in the Lord and you mark them as God reveals them to you. How easy is that? So, I don't know what to mark. That means God didn't show you yet. So when do you know when to mark a thought? When God shows it to you. Now, but the other good part is if we're in fellowship and if we're in unity, what do we begin to learn among ourselves? We know how to mark them. We know what they look like. We know what they talk like. Well, give me another one.
I know you talked about the learning the apostles' doctrine.
Learning the apostles' doctrine. Right on. That was a big part of that whole scenario there. Absolutely. Anybody doing that? Yes? I could ask you what they are. We'll get back to that. What else? What covenants? Now, if you can't remember the covenants, how do you know you're doing them? Now, you made covenant with me. Does anybody know what a covenant is? It's an agreement, right, Tim?
Yes.
Stand up, brother. Look at this.
All right.
Tim and I are united in one thought, One covenant, one agreement, one word, one spirit. If we make covenant, that covenant is not to be broken.
Right.
Everybody hear that? How can you not break a covenant if you don't remember it? I'm getting you today. I got to challenge you today. If you don't remember the covenants, you can't keep them. They are our bond. What do you think holds the kingdom of heaven together? That covenant of love and the word of truth that bonds us as a body of Christ together. So what are the other ones? I know one that maybe you haven't thought about. It was the first one I commanded you to do, and you even made covenant that you would do it. You know what it is? Be perfect. Be perfect before your God. Now, how many have actually give that a try? We need to get busy. Why is that important? You say, I don't even know if I can be perfect. I didn't even say that you could at first. You have to give yourself to it and let God teach you how to be perfect. That's called regeneration. As he regenerates you, you become like him. He is perfect, right? So that's very important, to be perfect. Anything else? We did talk one day about being obedient. You made a covenant with me about being obedient to the Lord. You know what another one is? You told me that you would remain unspotted from the world. Have you done that? I can't hear you. I see the lips moving. Anything else? Okay, I'm going to stop right there. I think I made my point. Here's what we're after. The last thing we talked about last week on that list was what again? The works. And what did we say the importance of works were for? You answered it. Do you remember? Why do you need works? You said faith without works is dead. There you go. Okay, good. So it manifests, she said, what's in you. It shows proof of what's there. Let me read a scripture to you in Ecclesiastes chapter, I think it's 12 and verse 13. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13. Hey, does everybody know what this book's about? Who knows what the book of Ecclesiastes is about? Number one, who wrote it?
Solomon.
Okay, the wisest king, Solomon, the preacher. What did he discover in that book? Or he wrote about that he discovered?
Vanity.
All is vanity. And he showed how the thoughts in the world, in man, are just solid vanity. So after all of that writing, and there are some powerful things in that book. I'm telling you, mind-blowing things in that book. But after all of it said and done, he ends with these last two verses. Go ahead, put it up there and let's read it. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. This is what makes man whole. Isn't that true, Tim? Fearing God and keeping his commandments will make you whole. Is that awesome or what? So would it be to say that if I fear God, keep his commandments, that God's going to make me whole? I'm telling you, how can you get an error if you're keeping God's commandments, Julie? You can't, can you? That's the answer I like to hear. If somebody might say, but there is no buts. It's if you keep the commandments and you fear God, you will be whole. And what's the last verse say? For God shall bring every work into judgment and every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Anybody got any secrets? Yeah? Did you know God knows them? I made a statement a few weeks ago and have continued to talk about these things. If our appearance before men or women is trying to be seen or received a certain way, what are we actually doing? We're trying to please man. We're hiding from man. But can you hide from God? You can't hide from God. Where do your works go? To God. Let me say it this way. I'll write it here. Before God. Is that judgment? What is judgment? To be discerned. So if we say judgment is to be discerned, that's pretty cool. What are we saying? And this verse here says, for God shall bring every work into discernment. Whether it's secret, whether it's good, whether it's evil, it doesn't matter. God has to bring your works into discernment. Where do you think you learn to walk in Christ? In what? Yes. When you get discerned or judged, is that your teacher to show you whether you're good or evil? So why would we avoid it? Does everybody want to be judged? Just not by an evil person. Right? You want to be judged by a righteous one, which is God. So when you stand in the presence of God, God discerns all your good and evil. Then he's able to work with you and show you whether you're working good or working evil. Isn't that is so cool to me. But what if you're not doing any works? What if you are not working to remain unspotted from the world? How will you ever know? Some of you, you're afraid to do certain things. I know it. The thought is still among us. We're afraid to do certain things because we're afraid to be wrong. Can I say that that itself is wrong? Who should we fear? God. Who will not hurt you? Who will have compassion on you? Who will have mercy on you? Who is your Father? You want me to keep going? Who are you? I'm God's. You can say it. I belong to God. And you can say a lot of answers that way, and I'll probably take them all. But you belong to God. You're the offspring of God. If you're a spiritual being and you have given your life to God, that's because God called you. Not you did not call yourself. You are here because God called you. So what has God put in your possession now? A word. And then he says, take that word and go work. But Lord, what if I do it wrong? Take that word and go to work. But Lord, take that word and go to work. Anybody listening out there, Moses? I cannot speak. Go talk to Pharaoh. But my mouth, go talk to Pharaoh. Are you listening? How many of you have taken on a thought of that, Moses, insignificance, lack of ability, lack of understanding, lack of desire, all of these things? You got to wipe that out and get to work. If you don't work, how can you be judged? So I'm just waiting on the Lord to show up. Good luck with that. It's not going to work. The work of the Lord is to prove all things are true. That's why doing works is good. How many of you know, I think it's in the book of James that talks about being a doer and not a hearer only. Find that verse for me, Megan. Are you a doer or just a hearer? Which one? All the hearers, raise your hand. Well, I hope you're all a hearer. I got you, didn't I? Do you have to be a hearer and a doer? Now all the doers, raise your hand. And if you raise your hand twice, good for you. See? Don't think so black and white on this one right here, right? Did we get it? James 1:22. Check this out. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. See, this is why you cannot be just a hearer. Because you'll deceive yourself. It's like Micah told me. Oh, he's out today, so he's probably online. Micah told me when I put him in charge of that meeting out in Geneva. And he said, you know, at first when he started teaching, he said, you know, all these thoughts I've always had used to sound really good in my head. And then I started saying them. And then I was like, whoa. That don't sound so good anymore. Then you start realizing I don't quite understand everything. You know why it's important to get to work? So God can discern it. God can discern it. Anybody in here ever went to talk to somebody about something in God, the things of God, and halfway through it you realize, oh boy, I don't know actually what I'm talking about. Was that good or bad? See, you may say, but I think I lied to them. And now I've hurt their eternal soul. Trust me, you weren't the first one. I promise you that. Do we need to learn? How else are you going to learn? How else are they going to learn? We got to get to work, man. Why do I put these commandments upon you? To put you to work. That's it. I need you to be discerned in your own self so that you know within yourself you're not deceiving yourself. You're being led by the Spirit. Is there a next verse on that? Let's see what it says. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Go to the next one. For he beholds himself and goes his way and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. Oh, I love this. But whoso looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. There's a lot in that. I'm not going to address all that, but there's so much there. Are you blessed if you work? Now, another question for you. I hope you take these questions to heart and say, okay, he's been telling me what I need to do all this time. How many of you have said, I don't know what to do? That's a lie. I can't take that as an offering. It's not true. I have myself, just myself alone, have told you exactly everything you need to do, haven't I? Every Sunday morning, I lay it out for you, what you need to do. How many of you spent time in prayer this morning that the will of God would take place in this meeting and that you would receive the will of God and that God would bless the word that comes forth and that all his saints would hear and be gathered in together unto the will of God? How many of you sat down out of your busy life and prayed before God this morning, knowing that you're on your way to church, knowing that there's a will of God that has to be taking place here? You see what I'm after? I bet many would say no. You know what you need to do? You need to care that you're coming to church where the battle of eternity is at stake. Did you hear me? The battle of eternity is at stake here. This is where the soul gets redeemed to heaven or it doesn't. And of course it happens in our everyday life. But if we're finding it hard to even come to pray about what God is doing among us here, how much would we pray other times? How many of you sit down in a chair? I don't care. I could say anywhere. Lay in a bed, kneel down, and you take time out. You set your phone down. You set your laptop down. You set your TV away. Anything that bothers you and entertains you, you set it away and you sit down and you focus and you pray. Every week. And you give your meditation to the Word of God in you. How many of you do that? In our minds, there have been thoughts, well, I don't want to pray wrong. How can it be wrong if your heart is crying out for the Lord? And if we set our works into place, funny how I'm saying it's physically, aren't I? See, I have one confidence about God. That as my heart and soul line up to please God, my earthly life will line up to please God. Isn't that interesting? How do you make your body serve God? How? Your heart and soul have to serve God. That's good. Purpose it. We said that last week, didn't we? You purpose it. Did Jesus purpose in himself? He did. Where did he get that purpose from? His Father. So do you purpose it in your heart to do the will of God? Do you purpose it in your heart to take time to seek the Lord? You know, it's interesting. Let's just dive into this for a second. We want to be spiritual. True. We say things are in the Spirit. That is very true. Without the Spirit, we are nothing. We can't do anything. But how much time have we spent saying, well, I don't want to work it in the flesh, serving God, so I'm not going to do these things in the flesh. But then you spend all your time in the flesh pleasing the flesh. Anybody? So you do what you want. You go where you want. You entertain yourself like you want. But then all of a sudden, we don't have any time for the flesh to give it to God. How many of you have talked to 5 people this week and ministered to them about the grace and the power and the love of God in you? 5 people this week. Anybody? I have. Do we think this way? Well, I got to work it all in the Spirit. I told you, the works are done in the Spirit and in the earth. Does anybody want to see this work carry on? If you do, let me see your hand. When I say the work, I'm not talking about just this church, but praise God for it. There's a work of God that's got to go on in this earth. Who's going to carry it on? The doers. The doers. You know how much work gets done if there's only one doer? And then is the temptation for him greater if there's only one? Do you understand what I'm saying? How could one get exalted? Because he's the only one doing it. Are we all human? Are we subject to fall to wrong thoughts? We are. We have to be diligent. So I need my brothers. I need my sisters to rise up. Remember when I told you, you got to look at one another and say, don't cross the line with the devil. Remember that? How many do that? I'm telling you, I don't preach up here for nothing. I'm preaching to all the doers out there that'll say, I will follow the Lord and be a doer of something in God. You have to do. Well, I'm a doer. I come to church. Good. That's awesome. That's a doer. You get out of bed and you drive and you come to church. And this is a scattered group in the sense of distance, isn't it? Where's the perfect place to put a church when everybody lives 100 miles away? In opposite directions. It's just that way around here. I razz Brian all the time. It's like, God's got great favor on that boy because God put him number one in California in the where it's not snowing every day. Number two, every one of their meetings are within like a 10-minute range. Isn't that awesome? You could walk to all of them. That's fantastic. So I razz him a little bit. But here we are in our group. What are we going to do to work the works of God while we have a chance? Who are we going to talk to tell them about the love of God instead of thinking so much about ourselves? What's going to happen here? Is this just going to die off? Because I'm so busy trying to understand my own salvation? You know the best way to understand your own salvation, don't you? I've answered it 500 times just in this meeting. Well, almost. What is it? To work. That's how you come into understanding. Say, well, wait, no, God gives me understanding. Yes. Does God give you understanding as you go your way to do the works of God? Yeah. This is why it's so awesome to work with people that love to work it. Because you grow. Because you grow. 100%, I know now, looking back, I could have easily say, I forget now, 13 years ago when I was put in here as pastor. 13 years ago when Rick sat across that table at the patio and told Jeff, the word of the Lord, this man is going to be the pastor. I'll never forget it. And soon after that, that all came to be. I could look back and go, you know what? I was nowhere near ready to actually be a pastor in my mind. That's true. In my mind, I wasn't ready. But you know what? Something about working it, Deborah. Something about getting in there and saying, I don't know what I'm doing, but the word of the Lord said do it, so here I go. Did I do wrong? Yep. Did I make mistakes? Yep. Did I have to learn? Yes. But here I am 13 years later, and you know what I have found? God will not fail. God is faithful. That if his word says if we'll put our hope and confidence in him, he won't fail. That's a true statement, and I can verify it for myself today. I'm telling you, it's powerful. You know why? Because we work. And here's the other thing. How many of you have been a little scared to be judged? Think about that. I'm a little nervous about getting judged. What I told you today should help clarify, right, Tim? You said it. It's to be discerned. It's to be discerned. Do you know when Solomon, we read from his book, King Solomon, after David passed away, he went into a dream and stood before the Lord, and what was his prayer? To have wisdom to judge the people. Do you know what it goes on to say? It shows you that that judgment is discernment. Give me wisdom to discern the people. Now, first in him, God gave him great wisdom. Secondly, anybody he worked with, he could discern it. Should that relieve the thought in you, that judgment? I'm just waiting to stand before God and I'm either going to get the sword or go into heaven. Oh God, please let me go into heaven. Is that our thoughts? What if we stood before the Lord now and said, Lord, let your judgment be the judge of me. Discern me and let me know if I'm working good or evil. Wouldn't that be more beneficial for all of us? Because I told you earlier, is God the one that's merciful? Is he the one that's full of grace? So a righteous man falls how many times? Seven times and rises up. Does that mean the Lord has to have great mercy? Oh, you bet he does. So why should mercy be among us? Why should we work such mercy? Because God is merciful. Oh man, that's good. And therefore, I have to ask you, what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? Let me give you some help. Last week I said spiritual growth is key. Everybody should have that in your thoughts. But you can't make that happen without the Spirit of God helping you, right? Number two was the unity of the faith. Have you thought this week that everything you do is to work the unity of the faith? Now think about that. Have you in your consciousness said, when I go forth from this building, I will unify the body of Christ. I will unify it. And then have you done it? I will fellowship the word of truth. I will fellowship it. Not only will I fellowship with those among us here, I will fellowship with God. I will fellowship with the Spirit. Yes. Is that getting to work? Yes. Then you said, I'm a giver, man. I am a giver. I will give however I need to give. It's an interesting thing, the giving. You got to learn how to give in the Spirit. You got to learn how to give in the earth. Well, it's important. How do the souls under the altar come forth if there's no giving? Now, I'm talking about in Revelation, in the fifth seal that was opened, in the book of seven seals that was opened up, in the fifth seal, there were those saints that were under the altar crying out night and day for God to bring judgment on the wicked one. Who are those souls under the altar waiting for? They're waiting for the saints of God to come forth and have that wicked one judge so that the body of Christ be fulfilled. Does the wicked one in you need to be judged, Marvin? He does. Do you know what us getting together and talking and fellowship in the Word of God? I'll tell you what I appreciate about you, Marvin, is you're innocent in it, in your mind sometimes. A lot of people have a lot of knowledge. So like, well, I got so much knowledge that I can't just be innocent anymore. I can't just be humble before the Lord. Talking to you has been refreshing because it's like, God, is this okay or is it not okay? And you don't know. So when somebody tells you that has the Word of God, you go, oh, then okay, it's not okay with God. Well, then I'm going to stop. When's the last time we done that, Tim? Not to glorify a man. I'm going to glorify God here. I love the simplicity. And you know what? You're better off for all these years coming in now and going, I wasn't so corrupted with all the thoughts that I was taught for the last 20 years so that now I know how to try to manipulate the Word of God and hide from God. You just like it to be told yes or no and then, okay, I'll do that. That's awesome, isn't it? And I've seen it happen over and over again. That's cool, man. That's what I like to see. Do you know what is difficult? Is when you sit across from somebody and then they try to deceive you by telling you half of this or part of this and not saying it all, and then afraid to appear before you correctly or afraid to be judged or discerned. If you come into the idea of God with that, you're going to miss out. So how do we correct that? How do we correct it? Anybody want to answer that? I like that. I was actually thinking that. You need to be honest before God. Knowing that God just wants to discern you so that you know how to do good and evil. How do you clean up your works? Have them judged. Any of you like to think about God but never want to be judged? Well, if I tell them, they might disagree with me. Well, what good is that? Be judged. Be discerned. When you are, you know what will happen to you? You will start to walk in the works of God. There's no better place than that. No better place. I'm telling you, it's a great thought to think that I'm a doer, and I may not get it all right yet, but I'm doing. And if I'm commanded to do something, I'm going to do it. And then I'm going to go if I can't hear from God whether I'm doing it right, I'm going to sit down with somebody I trust that can, and I'm going to have this whole thing discerned. It will change your life. It will change your life. It will. What do you guys think? Julie, you've talked with us for a while. You went through a phase where you were, everything was, nope, I'm not of God, basically, in a nutshell, right? But something happened there. You remember? When you started actually believing something. Well, think back out west somewhere. Out west, and there was a conference going on a few years ago.
That I was the Son of God.
Oh, and you came back from there and you believed with all your heart. God talked to me and said, I was the Son of God. Your life began to change after that. I know it's not perfected yet, but isn't it interesting that now when we talk, there's still some of the old thought, but there's a whole bunch of new thought. You know what that means? You plant new seed, you get a new harvest. So what do you think is trying to come up right now? A new harvest of good seed. You know what that means? You hang in there, them works are going to keep coming. Those works are going to keep coming. Next thing you know, you just might be up here testifying a little bit more. You might be praising God a little bit more. Because the works, you put the works in. So every time you call, it's not a bother. It's great to hear God's working. How do you know if you're doing it wrong or right? Have I said it enough? I'm trying to get to that 500 mark. You get it discerned. That's how it works. You get it discerned. Anybody else in here? You have listened and obeyed. I'm telling you, if you are a good listener, a hearer, and you have obeyed, a doer, things are changing for you. I'm telling you, it's as simple as that. There's no simpler thing among us that needs to happen. You hear and you do. That's it. So who's ready to be a doer? Yeah? I mean in everything. What about the person that says, I'll give it a try? I'll give it a try. You know what? It's funny. I joke around with people. I ask them, I say, will you come up and you want to come up and say something? I'll put you up there. You could preach today. Oh, not today. Not today. What's that tell you? You haven't been working it. And so it's like this. I tell these deacons, make sure every Sunday you better be prepared. You better come with something. You know what that does? What am I actually teaching them? See, do you come to church oblivious? Who comes to church oblivious? Who comes just oblivious? I jumped right off the couch from watching the news, got in my car, went by McDonald's, ended up at church, and just talking to everybody about everything. Or you come right in and sit down. That's what I mean. Don't do that. Take some time and prepare your heart before the Lord, man. And what if you started doing that not only on Sundays, but every day? How would you guys like to start getting back into some prayer meetings? What if we said, look, when you guys come in here 10, 15 minutes before time to start, sit down, meditate in the things of God. Life gets hectic. Sometimes you don't have time to do that at home. Sometimes it gets busy. I get that part. It's crazy. So leave a few minutes early. Come in here and sit down. And if it gets too loud and people are just talking, go sit up in that room up there. Hang out up there. Meditate in the Word of God. If you can't do it at home, do it here. You know what it's going to do for you? What do you think? I'm telling you, you will begin to purpose in your heart that there's a right thing to do and there's a wrong thing to do, and this is the right thing I'm doing because God's going to talk to me. So anybody that's led by God knows how to pray. We need to pray. We need to pray in these Bible studies. We need to pray. We need to seek the Lord. We need to speak to one another in the Word of God. Don't we? So let's do it. Look at your person next to you and say, you better watch out and get ready to start talking the Word of God to you. Oh, look at this. Come on now. I'll wait. Because if we can't do it even sitting here laughing about it, it's going to be difficult to do it together. We got to get busy, man. This is a battle for your soul. Right? You know that, right? This is a battle for your soul. All eternity awaits. Heaven, hell, it all is in there. And which one you follow makes a difference. So you got to set aside your busy life for a few minutes and take time out and turn your phone off for just a minute. I'll give you a secret. If you are so distracted by your phone, you got two options when you sit down to pray and read your Bible. Number one, put it on airplane mode. All notifications, gone. Number one. Number two, if you ain't even, I can't even do that. Throw your phone on the outside of the house, on the front porch, close the door, lock it, and get you a Bible, a book, where you can sit down and read a book for the first time in 10 years. Right? That's all of us, right? Crazy, isn't it? That's a little joke. But sit down and read. What am I emphasizing? Get rid of distractions. Give yourself to the Lord a little bit. You have to do this. You have to. You got to hear from God. God's got to minister to you. Everything is a distraction. It'll oppose God, won't it? Let's work on that. How many will be willing to work on that? Lord knows I don't want to put you under any stringent, disastrous thing that'll send anybody over a cliff. The thought of not being able to have my phone for 30 minutes. 30 minutes? Oh my God. What am I going to do? And then when you get skilled, honestly, this will happen to you. When you get skilled, I have found this to be true. You could be in a room with lots of noise, lots of distractions, TV on, this, that, people talk, it won't even matter. You could be in anything and the Lord be talking to you, and you could be just meditating in the things of God. But that, you have to be skilled in it. You got to start somewhere. I found that to be true, man. I have been just, I don't watch a lot of movies anymore. For some reason, it just left me a little bit, but I like to watch them every now and then, and sometimes I'll be in a movie and the Spirit of God will be ministering to me and I'll be gone. I'll just be in a vision with the Lord. It is what God wants to do for us. And I'm saying that in a scenario, you could be anywhere doing anything and the Lord be ministering to you. But it starts with what? Put a little purpose in your heart. Set a little time aside. Start giving yourself to the Lord. Okay, I think I got to 500 times. Be discerned. There it is. I just reached it. 500. Be discerned. All right? Anybody want to say anything to me? Anybody want to give me anything back? Let me receive something. Marianne. Do me a favor, Tim. Hold on, Marianne. Walk around with this microphone just in case. And help our brothers and sisters online out.
Does judgment and discernment equals discernment? Does that mean that God can reproof us?
Yes.
And yeah. I have been reproofed, and I thank God for it.
Oh, awesome, Marianne.
I do. Every reproof I've had, I thank God and give him the glory for it.
And I can verify that too. Mm-hmm. I can verify that. Every time she's called me and says, I think this is the Lord. And I say, Marianne, that's not the Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Now I know, she says. Is that awesome? Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, different times I've been reproved. And sometimes it's spirit to spirit. And I just knew it. Nobody had to tell me it wasn't the Lord. Are you sure? I just knew it was. Sometimes it was over my tithing, and oh boy, I was so glad he helped me. He helped me understand what I was doing wrong, or the wrong thought I took. And I give him the glory for that, all my reproofs.
Thank you.
And I've seen judgment and discernment, and I'm thinking, well, maybe that's reproof. Then judgment, he will reproof us if we need to be reproved.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Very good. Thank you. He'll correct you. He'll reprove you. He'll instruct you. All of these things are going to be part of this working. Every bit of it. Right on. Raise your hand if you want Tim to bring you that microphone.
So it's helpful for me. You've said a couple times, and a couple times people have come up and spoke, and I'm like, oh my God, like, why would we let them say that? But now I'm understanding why you're doing that, and I don't know if I should say any more, but there was one specific example that was very helpful for me that you explained, and then you corrected that person, and I was like, oh, thank God, you know. But it was very helpful to see that. That makes sense to me now, why we let some people say things, or some things they do it wrong, but it's for the good of us to learn from it. So that's been helpful.
It increases the body.
Yes, because then they are being discerned, and then we can see that too, and so that's helpful.
Yeah, that's good. How many have thought that before? Anybody? Like, whoa, what are they saying? Listen, there are things that we let go in you, don't we? Why do we not always just run after you, correct everything? Because God's working. But when the time comes, we get it. There will have to be times that some of you will even get up and testify and be wrong. There has to be. But then, as you learn that it's wrong, you won't do it anymore, will you? That's awesome. So good. That's a good way to say that, Julie. I like that. Anybody else? Over there. Sharon.
It's funny what you spoke last Sunday provoked me to think the very thing that you're talking about this week, in that I was thinking, man, you know, have I been doing have I been doing these things that you've said, the five things? And what I realized was, man, I'm not spending enough time doing this. I need to do a little bit more. And I had a talk with Brad. And he goes, so what are you so afraid of with, he goes, are you judging yourself? That who told you that this was wrong? Who told you? Did you get told this by someone who can discern? And I was like, oh, okay. Well, if you don't hear from God or you don't hear from someone that has the ability to discern, then you can't judge yourself. And that's what I'm learning now, is that don't judge it before it's been judged by someone who can, if I can't do it yet myself.
Yeah. Very good.
It gave me a little more freedom to go, oh, okay, well then now I do have to.
It definitely gives you more freedom, she said. It gave her more freedom to speak it.
Yeah.
That's the key, is when you have freedom in yourself, thinking, well, this is going to be discerned, and you're okay with that, you'll speak freely. And you'll be okay with getting it wrong sometimes. You have read about the disciples, right? Anybody? Am I the only one? The disciples got it wrong a lot. But who was there to help them?
Jesus.
And then they got it right. And then he could leave. And he said, it's all yours, boys. Go get the world. Go show the world my faithfulness. And they did. Isn't that cool? Very good. Anybody else?
I got the microphone.
Come on, Tim. Say it.
The thought of spiritual growth was really good. It provoked me really good last week. So this week I went forth with that in my heart, was to let the Lord begin to grow the Word of God spiritually in me. So I went forth with that thought in conversation with, I think I met with and talked with four people today. One more, I could have raised my hand. But I was happy. I was happy. you know, it's before, I mean, I would have talked to nobody. But it's when God starts to really start working in your heart and he begins to convert and change things, then the labor and the stress of trying to do it yourself, it stops. It starts going away and becoming less and less. But when I'd get together and I'd speak with the people I did, I began to, it's so easy. Have you guys ever gotten in conversations and it's just like, it's just trading scriptures back and forth, and it's like all these pleasantries and, oh, it feels so great, and God was edified, and you walked away, and there was nothing in you challenged? How can you grow with that? So when I got together, I began to provoke my brothers. And what it did is it provoked me. So we provoked each other, and we let the Word of God provoke each other unto good works. And are we measuring up to the Word of God and what he's called us to do? And I kept reemphasizing we need to grow spiritually. And so in those conversations, we were challenged, and we were provoked and unto the things of the Lord, and seeing where we measured up in the things of God in our works. And it was beneficial for me this week especially. It was very good.
That's great to hear, man. See, that's good. That's what I'm talking about. You have to grow. And then the one thing you do is if you communicate, we're always in communication, aren't we? That's the good part. The circle of trust. It's interesting about a circle of people. It's a body of Christ. When you're all communicating and you're all fellowshipping together, can a thief get in? Can't. So let's say even if Tim is talking with, say, Rigo, let's just say by chance you guys are communicating, and let's just say there's something in that conversation not understood, and maybe it's not quite right. Okay? Well, number one, we got to trust the Spirit, don't we? Well, I know if we're all in communication, what comes out? That lie comes out. You watch it. It always happens. It cannot fail because God won't let it fail. So whether she shows it in dream or vision or whether it's just in conversation, we all get to communicate. And sometimes, Tim, have we ever sat and talked where you were talking and you saying, yeah, we were talking about this and this, and one of us said, wait a second, you were doing what? What was that about? Tell me about that. Well, we said this. No, Tim, I don't think that's right. And what starts getting corrected?
Oh, yeah.
It happens, doesn't it?
Discernment
You lead with the truth, and now you know how to walk in it. And that's what we're after. Aren't we after that?
Yeah.
Well, good. This is a start. What I really would like to hear, last week we had Michelle talking about she's teaching Sunday school today. I've checked back with her. How many of you did that? Did you check back with her and her testimony? Come on now. I'm not seeing any hands in here. Did you check back? I saw your hand. Thank you. Please, please don't leave me out. Julie was faithful in it. Good. You check back and you go, man, that was a good testimony. Let's talk. Tell me what else you've getting. You see what I'm saying? How can a thief get in when we are a brother's keeper? Come on. Or are you Cain? No, we're not Cain, right? All right. Good. So that's a start. It's a start. I am literally guiding you in everything you need to do. Everything. The Lord, there can be no blood on my hands. If I am obedient to God and do everything He tells me to do, if I get it, I give it. What would I like back? I'd like to receive some back. Be prepared, man. You pray and you seek God. You come into this place, and if you got something you want to say, you let me know. And we'll thank God for it. And I'll end with this. Brian and I were talking yesterday, and we were talking about provoking the deacons and one another and things like that. And he said this, and it's something that all of us have practiced quite a bit. And he said, I always tell the deacons out here, if you're going to preach, it's better if all you got is just 5 or 10 minutes of the word of truth. Don't try to fill 55 minutes with a whole bunch of, you know, talk, talk, talk. We don't need all the talk, 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 do we? What I'm saying is none of you have an obligation to talk for an hour. Nobody. Nobody in this church has that obligation. If you got something of God and it's 30 seconds long, let it shake the very heavens with praise and worship. That's what I'd like to hear. 30 seconds of I love God and all the heavens are rejoicing with me. I love it. That's awesome. 2 minutes, 3 minutes, I don't care. But we need to get active. And so talk to some people this week. Talk to some people. There's a whole lot more to this, but we're going to go, okay? And come prepared. Be ready. If you want to say something, I'm not going to try to call everybody out and put you on the spot. Just be ready. If you got something, let me know, okay? Let's stand up. Now, one more time, look at the person next to you and say, this is the start of something good. Good, good, good. God bless you. All of you online, God bless you. Have a great day in the Lord.